an old saying that says, when you're in Rome, you do as the Romans do. And put that a little bit more up to date. And when you go visit a Catholic church, you do as the Catholics do. When you go visit a Lutheran church, you do as Lutherans do. And whatever church you go to, you do as that church does. Otherwise, they ask you to leave. And people, so today, or any generation, you go to a church. And you're not in the formation part of their doctrine. I mean, they don't ask you what you believe, and then that's what they count in as their doctrine. They already have a formed doctrine. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, that's right.
And so you do whatever that is. And so when people go into a church, they're not looking to see if what everything they have is the truth. They want to learn the doctrine of that church so that they're a part of that church. Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying?
I get it.
And so truth is not really a big issue. It never was to me. I mean, until I began to see what the scriptures said, I didn't spend a lot of time worrying about whether it was the truth or not. It sounded good and made sense, or maybe it didn't make sense, but that wasn't my business. You know what I mean? And of course, I'm being cynical a little bit here, but but so anyway. But as far as God is concerned, truth matters. It matters what you and I believe, what we think, and what we it matters. And the Bible says, you know, in John, I think, the 11th verse, the first chapter, the 11th verse, it says that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And so if I go into a church and I have and they have already doctrinal persuasions, and they believe this or they believe that, or there's very few people that go to church today that I'm familiar with that would really readily accept what this scripture says, even though it's in their Bibles. And so they have their convictions, and people believe that Jesus is a God, you know, he's maybe the second member of the Trinity or whatever, and that's what they believe. And so when it says he came unto his own and they received him not, automatically in their minds they're thinking Jesus came unto his own and his own received him not. The problem with it is, that's true. The problem with it is the background scriptures that lead up to this, to that scripture setting. And the other ones that we know, I mean, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so, automatically then, thinking that Jesus is the Word and Jesus is God, then all of these scriptures are talking about Jesus. He was with God and he was God. You know what I'm saying? They already have a mental persuasion. They already have their own conviction. But the problem is that in actuality, none of this is actually directly pointing at Jesus. We're talking about God. God, through Christ, came unto his own, and they received him not. That's what it says. And so it's God that's angry, and it's almost like Jesus can step out of the picture, because God sent this perfect Son to bear witness to the truth, to speak only the truth, whether people liked it or didn't like it. God is the one behind it all. So it's God that they rejected. It's God that they received not. Even if Jesus became a member or a participant. Are you following me? In former days and times past, God spoke to the fathers through the prophets. The prophet, all he was a vocalization. He said what God told him to say. God is the one behind it. In these last days, God has spoken to us through His Son. So it's still God is the one that did the speaking. That's why we can say, and a lot of people don't know why the Bible says that this is the Word of God. How can it be the Word of God when it was put together by all these men? Well, God picked, it says that He picked holy men of old that He spoke through. But you know what the problem was? Even Moses had his shortcomings. The only one that was without shortcomings was the only begotten Son. He was perfect. And the thing that made him perfect was that he fulfilled the law to the last letter. Every jot and tittle, Jesus fulfilled. And so He became the perfect expression of God. So the Bible tells us that He was the expressed image of the invisible God. Because He had, I don't want to say He had won that position, because God is the one that brought Him forth. And God, by foreknowledge, knew what He was going to do. So how does He fit in? Well, it says He's a mediator of a new covenant. And it says here, He's a mediator between God and men. And He stood between them. You remember how Moses was, when God says, because they built the golden calf, and I mean, even Moses' brother Aaron was involved in it. He says, get out of the way, Moses. I'm going to destroy them all. And Moses, remember, he pleaded with God. And he says, if you kill all these people, what are these nations going to say? He brought them all the way out into the desert and then killed them? What kind of a God is that? I mean, that was human logic and reasoning. But anyway, and the Bible says that God had, you know, and he punished them. But, I mean, God goes up, called Moses up into the mountain to give him the Ten Commandments. And while he's up there, they talk Moses' brother Aaron into building a golden calf out of the gold and silver that they'd been given that they took out of Egypt. And it's like, who are we? Well, Moses had his shortfalls too, his weaknesses, but Jesus never had any. But he still was a man. I begin to understand something. Jesus says, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to come again. And He's not talking about the rapture or the end of things. He's talking about, He says, I will be with you, you know. Don't panic, don't worry, I will be there with you. And I've thought about it, you know, but in spirit or what are we talking about? And you know what, I'm starting to understand something. The Word was made flesh and dwelled among us. And we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father. That's what it says. And so, when this Word is here, and when Jesus says, if you love Me, you keep My commandments. When this Word is here, and we love the Word, and we begin to separate ourselves under the Word, rather than under these crazy doctrines of the churches. That's why I started out saying what I was saying about the, you know, when in Rome you do what the Romans do. Well, when we separate ourselves, come out from among them and be ye separate. You know what the Bible says? What God said? Then you'll be my sons and daughters, and I'll be your father. What if they don't? What if we go to Rome and do what the Romans do, rather than take a look and see what the truth is and do that? Are you following me? So let me say give me another perspective. So God came unto his own through his son. That's what it was. God is the one that was the words of God that Jesus spoke, and they received him not. If you don't receive somebody, you don't receive what, you know, I mean, if somebody walks in and they look strange, you don't not receive them because of their looks. You receive people by, according to what they tell you. He was the expressed image, the vocalization. He talked, and they received him not. But what did he talk? He talked what God had told him to talk. That's the point I'm making. It was God that they did not receive. Now, we got a similar dilemma today. And this really affected, it's really got to me here in the last few days. Guess what? Here is the voice of God, the words of God. And I've come to the realization that the translations, in different translations, what all it was a thing to get us separated. Where people say, well, I go by this translation, or I go by this translation. It's a separation tactic. Because I discovered that the major issues in all of the translations are all the same. There's just little gimmick things, little things that people try to play with in the scriptures, and they get people that are a little bit on the ignorant side, they get them separated. So Jesus says, I go away, but I will come to you. And I realize, here he is. Here he is. I don't mean this isn't what he looks like. I'm saying all he was the expressed image of the Father. All this is the expression of what God wants us to know. And so God has come unto his own, the same thing. In church after church after church, these are his people. And I begin to understand some things about salvation that I didn't ever realize before. The Bible tells us, we understand that we are body, soul, and spirit. But what we don't realize is what our spirit actually is. The body without the spirit is dead, and we're talking about the human spirit. But the spirit and the body both vie for the attention of the soul. The spirit, you know, I had to start seeing the scriptures to understand this. In the 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, I know that scripture. I've read this scripture. I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. What are we talking about? I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with the understanding. My spirit will go with you, Paul said. When people are born in of the spirit, we're not even talking about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. We're talking what happens in a Baptist church that doesn't believe in speaking in tongues. Are their lives transformed? They're changed. They go in and confess Christ and in the beginning stages of salvation, what happens? Their lives are changed. They're transformed. But they didn't receive the Holy Spirit. Their spirit was changed. The human spirit was born again. And I am beginning to understand from the scriptures. I could see it so plainly that it was unreal. We don't even understand what happened. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And if you're not, bear with me. And I lost it, but I'll be back. Schwarzenegger. I'll be back. but anyway, when I was out in Seattle and in that Lutheran church, and the pastor wanted us to go down to a Bill Bright campus crusade. And when I was down there, okay, now I'm in the Lutheran church. When I was in there, and they told us what we needed to do was, you know, like Revelation 3:20, just ask Jesus to come into your heart. And so we did. And Joanne and I both did. And this is before we met Merrood, told us about being filled with the Spirit. And you know what? We went through a real transformation. I did not speak in tongues. I was saved. Legally saved. But not fully saved. Because I had not worked out my salvation with fear and trembling. Are you following me? I had an experience that was life transforming. And so okay, so now. So here we are. We're in the 20th century, or whatever century we're in. And here we have this word that is so awesome and unbelievable, and God has given us the privilege of taking it into our system and being transformed by what is happening to us through the Word. You know what? God is coming unto His own, and men are not receiving Him. Because they're not believing this. What is the difference between what happened in John 1:11 and what is happening today? Are you understanding me? So here it is. And so God wakes me up and said, if you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. You know, I didn't know that I couldn't find him in the Lutheran doctrine, or that I couldn't find him in the Baptist doctrine, or I couldn't find... I didn't know that. Because God was not coming to me in those doctrines, in those traditions, in those private interpretations. He wasn't in them. And so I was led supernaturally into this separation, under this, not even realizing that in the beginning what was happening. And so now, when you preach, now remember what Jesus said, or what was recorded of him in Mark 1:15? In the beginning it says, the first thing he said, repent and believe the gospel. He didn't say repent and believe the Baptist doctrine. Repent and believe the gospel. And I thought, that's kind of what the last church is going to be preaching. Set aside your hand-me-down inherited doctrines and turn to what I have to say in the Word and believe me. Believe what I'm saying in the Word. Anyway. Thank you.
You notice the communion here that we'll be having this morning. I thought about it, and I thought it would be a good day for an algebra lesson. Let me explain what I mean. I'll give you the algebra lesson. That's what I'll give you. If A equals B, then B equals A, meaning it goes both ways, you know. If the word is like manna coming down from heaven, you know, if it's bread, you know, then the bread is the word too. It goes both ways.
That's good.
You know, goes both ways. Another algebra lesson, or another algebra equation, whatever, is if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And there in John 1, it talks about the word came, the word was with God, the word was God. And then later on in John 1, it's clear that Jesus is tied in with the word too. You know, just how that sorts itself out is a little up in the air. But then Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life."
Yeah.
I'm the, you know. So if Jesus, if the word is somehow equals Jesus, and Jesus is the bread of life, the manna that came from heaven, then the word is the bread. A equals C. There's a portion of the sixth chapter of John I'd like to read. Starting in verse 32, Jesus is talking here. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he that cometh down from heaven and gives life unto the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. And I said unto you that ye have also seen me and believe not. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and he that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I shall lose nothing, but shall raise up again on the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that sees the Son and believes on him shall have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last days. The Jews then murmured to him, because he said, 'I am the bread which came down from heaven.' And they said, 'Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he says, I came down from heaven?' And Jesus therefore answered and said to them, 'Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned from the Father comes to me. That verse 45 there is interesting. Mm-hmm. They'll all be taught of God, suggesting, hey, you're going to receive the word from God. There's no teacher intermediary there. You know, Amen. There is that, there's the scripture, that they will not be taught of men, but you'll be receiving the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if I particularly noticed there in John chapter 6, that same idea is being expressed. And it's quoting Isaiah 54 too. But anyway, going on to verse 46. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he that is of God. He has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me have everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So anyway, these things are just so tied together. And Jesus is the center of it all. What we'll be doing later is receiving Jesus. Now, you know, the Catholics have their own doctrine about how it somehow mystically transformed into the actual, you know. I don't know that you need to hold to that doctrine to catch the tie-in, that there is something like eating that we are to do with Jesus, and then he's the Word, you know, so it is something like eating that we do when we take in the Word, when we listen to it, and by the same token, when we receive Jesus, it's the Word that we're getting, you know, A equals B, B equals A, you know, A equals B, B equals C, C equals A, you know, it's all together, Jesus, the Word, and the Bread. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking about basically the difference between doctrine and the Word. And, I've, over the last couple of weeks, I've been reflecting a little bit upon my born-again experience, you know, here at the church. And the changes that we went have undergone because, in a way, you know, we had our own doctrine. It wasn't Lutheranism or Catholic, but it was community chapelism. And, you know, natural flesh man is going to try and figure out all the gaps in what God reveals to him in the Word and creates this very nice package of thinking for any kind of question that comes up to make sure you never walk around with a question. And as we've come to know, that's exactly not where God wants you to be. In fact, he wants you to be coming to him seeking, not sitting back saying, I know. And then Keith then went on to touch upon something that has been really has settled in my spirit, which is the difference between sitting back and being directed on your salvation versus determining your salvation individually, your own fear and trembling. And it's occurred to me that the way typical churches are set up, it is just so easy to miss that. Because, you know, you think you understand something, but it doesn't quite line up with doctrine, and you ask the church about it, and the church says, well, you really haven't been at it long enough to understand the nuances, so don't worry about that, and stick this up here on a shelf, and in time this will become clear to you. And, you know, that sounds kind of good, but really the problem is that that's right at the point when God is speaking to you, saying, is this really what I'm saying to you? But the problem is, even with a good heart, you're trying to find the truth, and then what happens is, well, if you're not listening to the doctrine, or you're not listening to the eldership or the pastor of the church, you are starting to brand yourself as being non-submissive. Because you don't have as much experience to walk in the shoes of the leader, so therefore to question him, it kind of makes you out to be, that's not good. You do not want to be caught questioning the leader because he knows and you don't. And that's a concept that's reinforced in life. So it's very easy to eat that one because it's, you have that experience at work and you have that experience with young parents versus parents who've got, you know, five kids, and, you know, just that concept gets reinforced with you, and it's very hard to break out of that. Yet, that's exactly what is required of us. We're basically to say, this is a situation that I'm accountable for. And I can listen to what other people want to tell me or provide insights or other, even revelations that God has shared with them. But at the end of the day, it's really my salvation. And there's really no one else that I, quote unquote, can follow in the wake of or hide behind. What makes us unique here is, while I think we have a very solid structure, and Keith is definitely the pastor, Keith clearly lets us know that Scripture says we're to work out our own salvation. Yeah. And the doctrine that we're talking about every Sunday here is not something man has made. It's what God has given us. And not only that, we get up every Sunday and go, hey, to use Brother Charlie, I was looking at John, 6th chapter, verse 45. Did you see this? And you go, it didn't change from last week. It didn't change from 10 years ago. It didn't change from the first time someone said, if you want to find me, go where I am. What's changed is God has provided a little more light on that at that particular time. And God has decided, now's the time for you to gain a little bit more understanding.
Amen.
And so the doctrine that we have is God. And what I find incredibly freeing in that is that I can stand firmly upon the rock when someone comes to me and says, what about this? You know, and you go, I'm not trying to explain some man-made concoction to explain some set of scripture at a given point. You know, I've spent some time pondering on, you know, the Lord has shown us great favor in what's happened to us. And, you know, there's just not a lot of people here. I'm fine with that. really, at the end of the day, I'm only responsible for one, and that's me. You're only responsible for one, and that's you. And to take on a responsibility beyond that kind of goes contrary to the word. And it's difficult if you've got a calling to feel that way. I understand and respect that. But we have been shown the steps for our salvation. And I'm more confident in my salvation, not because I'm better, but because God has shown me so much grace and mercy to reveal his word to me in a way that I can stay on that straight and narrow path. You know, we need to repent. We need to understand that Jesus is a man. We need to seek God where he's found. We need not to let men tell us what to do, but let the word tell us what to do. You know, you sum it up and you make little check marks. And you go, yeah. It sounds so easy. But so many people are not doing that every day. So many people are just saying, well, this is what I heard. This is a message today. This is what the pastor says. This is what the doctrine of the church says. You know, and you can't let God, you prevent God from working in you. You know, Keith and Joanne, they talk about they're in a setting, but their pastor says go out and do this. And that particular situation, there was some revelation going on that was outside the doctrine. And they've had a really, you know, I look at their walk and I go, God has always provided light, even though they kind of zigzag through. And, you know, think about how I ended up here and the way the church was. And the way the church is today, and I go, I'm just blessed, because God is good all the time, in spite of everything. And we have certainly gone through the mill. I mean, I wouldn't want to redo 88 to 93 for anything. I don't want it. It wasn't fun on any level. But it did show me, which got reinforced, that it's me and God. And I'm just thankful that he's letting me see how you and God are working that out. Because I don't have all the answers, and I know I don't get all the revelation, and it's encouraging to me to see how God is working in your lives so I can see what God is also trying to do to me. You know, sometimes the lessons that you need to hear don't happen directly to you. Sometimes you just get to see something, and if you're watching it with the right heart and the right eyes, God's talking to you through someone else. And you might not even know it. I mean, a really deep work in you could be happening because of someone else's travail. A really great blessing could happen to you because of someone else's blessing. You have to be open to what God's doing, because God's doing everything. And you just can't, if you focus just on you, which you need to in one sense, but if you focus just on you, you miss what God's doing.
Right.
You can just miss it. So I'm glad that God spoke to Keith. I'm glad that we, for lack of a better term, gave Keith enough grace to say, preach what's on your heart, and gave God enough time to change my heart to understand what God was doing. I wouldn't be where I am if I wasn't paying attention to what God was doing somewhere else. Because it's so natural thinking to think that the only way you're going to figure something out is what happens to you. because we're just selfish that way. At least, I should not do that. I'm just selfish that way. You all may be way beyond that. But, you know, I reflect a lot, maybe too much, but I reflect a lot on how did I get to be where I am. And at the end of the day, I have to admit it's not because of anything I did beyond being willing to be open. I made a free will choice, and God has honored that free will choice. Certainly not because of how wonderful I am or how I've done these good things or, you know, in God's judgment system, those are like grains of sand. You know, He's really only interested in my soul. What I did along the journey, thankfully he provides a lot of grace, because that wasn't such a great journey. Anyways, I'm constantly blessed by the message that we keep bringing, that it is God, through His Son, who came as a man, who created the perfect sacrifice enabling our salvation. Have you ever thought about why God said we had to stop killing animals? Do you ever think about that? You know, a lot of emphasis on the blood in the Old Testament. It all just went away after Jesus said, shed His blood. Because after the perfect blood was shed, there was no need for that. The perfect sacrifice was made on our behalf. And once that took place, everything else became covered and unnecessary.
You know, as Charlie was quoting first on the beginning of John, you know, the things are coming, and you know, there's no the English vocabulary does not have words to describe correctly who God is or who God isn't. I or any man is not capable of using their mouth to tell you who God is. Mm-hmm. Good. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. And God, He humbled Himself, like I said before, a long time ago, to put it on paper for us. Like I thought,
that,
like a little joke, kind of. Not really, but just, I'm just going to put it on paper and I'll keep teaching you. And for example, you know, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Everything that was made through Him, and so forth. But because there's no more English words to describe this, that's how it's written. But guess what? In the beginning was the Word. But guess what? Before the beginning was God. God was before the beginning. Okay? And that's the best I have with English to tell you this. Revelation says that Jesus Christ is the beginning of the creation of God. So, God was even before the beginning. Before forever. And you either are of God, or you aren't of God. So, if you are of God, you are God. God is a spirit that covers heaven and earth. And it doesn't skip things. So either you are God or not of God. So that's why it gets so tight when we talk about Jesus, that, you know, Jesus is God, he is in God. Well, God covers everything. Just like Jesus, just like I am of God. That means that I am God. I'm not the God that you need to worship or you need to listen. But God is on a grain of sand. That is God. He didn't miss that. He's there too. You don't listen to the grain of sand, but everything is God. So in a way, when you know they say, you know, okay, Jesus is God, you know what? Yes, but so am I God. And so is everything. So the Trinity, I thought about it. The Trinity, but it's an incomplete doctrine. And I would call it the infinity. Because God is everything. There's anything that isn't God. Everything is God. So, again, when you say that God is three things, it's an insult to God. That is everything. Everything. Let me throw a gear in the wrenches or whatever you call it. You know, is that the saying when things go belly up? There's a difference. There's a difference. Bear with me. Let me finish before. Between the scriptures and between God's word. Okay? The scriptures is what's written on paper with words, with letters, I should say. But God's word is what grows out of there, and that's what gives you life. And let me bring some. And Jesus says, he always says about listening to my word and my word. Jesus always talks about his word. But there's a place where he says, you search the scriptures. He didn't say you search the word. He says, you search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. Well, don't we have eternal life in the word? Yes, in the word. Not in the scriptures. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. So these scriptures, another scripture. Jesus makes this question, and he says, why don't you understand my speech? I mean, that's a legit question. I mean, he's questioning, why don't you understand English or Hebrew in that case or whatever, but why don't you understand words? They're not capable to understand words. He said, why don't you understand my speech? Speech. Because you're not able to listen to my word. There's a difference. There's a difference between A through Z in this Bible book than God's word. And I'm not saying that God's word is in random places. No. This Bible is the scriptures, and God's word comes out of the scriptures. By no means God's word is something else that does not come out of the scriptures. Okay, I did not say that or suggest.
That's good.
But scriptures is what the scriptures is the seed, you know. The kingdom of heaven is like a seed. And we can give seeds, and then it grows into a tree. But you cannot take a tree and start with a tree. You don't start with a tree. You start with a seed. And that seed becomes something. Just like this Bible, the scriptures will become God's word in you, inside of you. But anyways, I don't even know why I brought all that up. It's just, but as you guys were speaking, it sparked this, And I just wanted to bring it up. I hope I was clear.
I thought what you brought was really good here, Pablo. The thing that came to my mind as Pablo was talking about scriptures as opposed to the word, the thing that came to my mind was, you know, if you have a table lamp, that's not going to light up anything unless you turn the thing on, unless it's got charged with electricity. And maybe in that sense, the Bible is just scripture that's not going to shed any light on anything unless there's the juice, you know, the spirit flowing through that thing. Unless you flip that switch, you have it plugged into the source of electricity, and at that point it's going to illuminate. But the lamp all by itself, the Bible here by itself, that's not going to light up a single thing. It has the capacity to, but it's not going to do it without that animating spirit, without the electricity. And also what Pablo was bringing about, Jesus was God, but then so are we, and so, so is the greatest man, and so forth. Treading on kind of dangerous ground there, I suppose, but surely in there has to be some kind of sense in which that is right. I get such a kick out of Jesus when they were accusing him. They were saying, "You say that you're the Son of Man or Son of God?" And Jesus' answer to them was funny. He said, "Don't the scriptures say that ye are gods?" That was Jesus' answer to the accusation that you're blaspheming by claiming to be a son of God. Bible says you're all gods. And the scriptures can't lie. It goes on. That was basically what Pablo was saying. Said, "I'm God." Well, that's what what he was doing is quoting Psalms, whatever it was that he was, whatever it was that. And of course we aren't, and yet there is something of essence of God that we are part of, in tied in some way, So Jesus is, again, it's so funny that Jesus should respond to that accusation as he did. "Well, you say I'm claiming to be Son of God? Well, the Bible says you're all God, so yeah, big deal," is basically what's being said there.
As I was sitting there listening, things started coming to my mind. And in the past, I've had a question, what's the difference between the spirit and the soul? And I wasn't quite sure, but it's beginning to come to me, I think. And you think of your body, your spirit, and your soul. Your body, if you go to a potluck, you have choices. You have a choice of good food that's good for your body, or good food that tastes good and not good to your body, or
dessert.
Yeah, really. But your body shows that. What you choose to eat, your body becomes. And then I was thinking, okay, your spirit feeds your soul. So if you go to a banquet for your spirit and you choose the wrong spirits, that's going to show up in your soul. your soul's not going to be healthy. But if you choose the good spirits that God gives us, God's spirit, your soul is going to be healthy. And you're going to be comfortable and you're going to be happy and whatever, you know. It's going to feed your soul. So that's a difference to me now between body, spirit, and soul. And I just praise God for giving me that because it's helping me to understand.
One of the things that's happened recently was getting a hold of Hebrews 8:10 and 10:16, and what it says in these two scriptures, it says that there's a alluding to something where it says. After those days, I think it starts in both scriptures, after those days, and it's like you got to see the other scriptures past that to understand what those days are that we're talking about. But what it's talking about is after the first covenant is over with. It's after the law has been fulfilled, and Christ was the fulfilling of the law. When he completed the law, that was the end of the law. And it's not that the law wasn't good, because it was. It was spiritual, the Bible says. But what had happened was that it says after those days, you know, after that time, it says that here's what God's going to do. He says a new covenant. So we wonder, what is the new covenant? What is the New Testament? And the New Testament actually is something that very, very few have ever understood or appropriated. And it says, after those days, and God is saying, I will put my laws, my word, in your minds, and I will write them on your hearts. It says in the first one, I think. In the second one, it says, I will put my laws in your hearts and write them on your minds. So it's like, you have the writing in both and putting in both. And anyway, the new covenant is actually what we are beginning to experience that we never have before. We're starting to get the word of God put in our minds and in our hearts. And that's the blessing that God gave us. That is the thing that happened to me 17 years ago. And I thought pretty close to the time that Dominic was born. It was in that time frame somewhere. And when it happened, I didn't understand that I had not been looking in the right places to find what God wanted me to find. God says, the voice said that you'll find me when you look for me where I am. It's like it was a basic major revelation. And what has happened is we have found all kinds of things. Understanding. I think it was Corky that brought up something that... I think it's in 1 John and it's also in Hebrews. It says that where the word says that you will not have need of any man teach you. Well, that says at several places in the scriptures. It even says it in the Old Testament. And so you will not have need that any man teach you, but you will all be taught of God. Okay? And so then we got a discrepancy. We got a dilemma. Because here's what it says. In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, it says that when Jesus ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. And he gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And every church just about grabs a hold of that scripture and says, but teachers were given. Okay, let me give you another scripture to fit in the middle of this thing. That's in the book of Daniel. And it says, And they that understand will instruct many. What's the difference? The teaching ministries of that we have favored from the church, it didn't matter whether they understood or not. And as Pablo pointed out, they took the scriptures at face value without worrying whether it was the actual word of God or not, and they tried to teach from this without understanding. I'm getting it. He didn't give teachers without understanding. These teachers were to be taught by God, and they were to understand from God's viewpoints. Do you follow me? These are the ones that Jesus brought about that are to go out and instruct many. As a pastor with teachers that we have had in this church over the years, I never really bothered to consider whether they were qualified to do the teaching or not. Why should they? They got the Bible to go by. Are you following me? But Daniel says, in the end, they that understand will instruct many. Do you know what's happening to you? Do you know what I hear? I could hear it plain from Corky this morning. I could hear it from Barb. I could hear it from, you know what's happening to us? We're beginning to get an understanding that does not come from man. I am blessed by what I hear coming out of this church on Sunday mornings. I'm blessed by everything you have to say. But let me tell you, that's not where I'm getting my understanding. The basic understanding is coming hour after hour after hour of taking the Word in. And the Holy, you know what the Bible tells us about the Holy Spirit? It says He compares spiritual with spiritual. That's what it is, Barb. He compares spiritual with spiritual. And so the Lord, we listen to the scriptures and the Lord turns it into what He wants us to have written on our hearts. And then when He does, we begin to get the truth factor. The truth starts to come in. And what happened to me is I began to understand that God is a real stickler for truth. God is such a stickler for truth that He brought about His only begotten Son, who Jesus says, I was born and I was sent to bear witness to the truth. You know what John the Baptist said? He says, and talking about Jesus, and He whom God sent speaks the words of God. That's what he said about John the Baptist said. That's just before where he said that he was given the Spirit without measure. See? And so, God wants us to speak the truth. Amen. So anyone else?
Keith, where's that scripture that you quoted? Give your teachers and so forth.
Which one? Ephesians 4.
What is it?
Ephesians 4.
Okay.
Maybe 10 or 11.
For those listening to the recording, we are still here. Just looking. Where? Oh, I missed it. Ephesians. Yeah, there it is. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. And he gave some. Okay. So we're talking, Keith, right? About, we should all be taught of God,
And then you said, you know, well, but there's a scripture that says, you know, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. He did. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Very important. Very, very, very important. Until means stop everything that happened before. Right? Until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, if anybody comes to me and tells me I need a teacher, you are confessing to me that you do not know your God. So we do need a teacher, and we do need a pastor, and we do need an apostle, and all those things. Until somebody says, you need to look for God where He is, and He's in His Word. That's the until. After that, we come to the knowledge of Him by ourselves, like the woman on the well. We don't. Now I believe because I hear it myself. I don't need a teacher anymore. You don't need a teacher anymore. If you say you do, you are basically saying you're lost.
That's good.
You're lost. That's good. That's good. So ever since I listened to the scriptures in the beginning, people, oh, we need pastors and we need teachers and we need all, you know, yeah. Yeah, because you have no idea who your God is. If you teach, and you know what? If your teacher is teaching you that you need a teacher, he's not a teacher.
Well, let's come up to the front and we have communion today. You know, in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where it talks about communion, it says that when we eat the bread and drink the cup, it says we show the Lord's death until He comes. And which is a big, it's an emphasis point. We show the Lord's death till He comes. And the thing is, I think it was a couple of weeks ago that Candy was telling me that she heard a minister on the, this is around, you know, the Easter thing, and he, on the radio or TV, and he says, and God died on the cross. And so here's the man Christ Jesus. And so we're gonna have communion here too, so. But anyway, it says you do show the Lord's death till He comes. So God died on the cross? You know, I mean, it's like, there's not logic, there's no reasoning, there's no rationale of any kind.